All right. Good evening. My name is Pastor Ethan, and this is Joseph Montalvo, and welcome to Forge Men's Group. Our normal pastor, Russ, speaker, brother, preacher, sir, is not here tonight. He's on a quick trip, so we're filling in from tonight, but we're covering a really, really awesome topic, I really believe, forgiveness, because it's, I think forgiveness is a very, the idea of forgiveness is very simple, but like the process of forgiveness is hard.
Yeah.
So.
And how do you define it? I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll discuss that. Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing that we're going to do tonight. But I want to go ahead and read a verse, and I hope that kind of bridges the gap, help us like bridge the gap of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so Joseph, why don't you start us off? Give us what to you, when you think about the word forgiveness and people how misrepresent it, what is forgiveness not? That's important to understand what it is not.
Yeah, forgiveness is not accepting what was the offense was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's huge.
Oh,
I think
man.
Sometimes you give, because if I forgive you, I'm saying it's okay. And I think sometimes forgiveness is a reflection sometimes, or it's perceived as weakness, right? I can't forgive you. I'll show weakness if I actually allow you to think that what you did is okay.
Yeah. I have one that I was thinking of, mm-hmm. but which is, I think it's the one that's most common, but I totally forgot about that one. A lot of people think when, they struggle to forgive because they've misdefined it as everything's okay,
mm-hmm.
Which will go into how forgiveness is not supposed to be. It's healing. But, it's not okay. You know, a husband cheats on his wife. Things are not okay.
Correct.
a child takes something from a friend or hurts one of the siblings. Like, forgiveness is needed there, but things are not okay, right? There's a relational... Then obviously some things have bigger consequences than others, but it's not saying that everything's okay. Okay, I think the more obvious one is the one that everyone knows, is that forgiveness is not forgetting. I say it's more obvious, but unfortunately, and I've seen this even in my own personal life, forgiveness, many times people think, oh, forgive and forget. And unfortunately, that's just not a very biblical way of looking at forgiveness, right? What are the dangers of looking at forgiveness as forgetting? What are some of the dangers, you would say?
Well, it's just not possible. I think about it simplistically, is like when an offense is experienced, it's felt. Mm-hmm. There's a memory of it. It's a marker in your memory. And so by saying forgiving is forgetting, there's a dismissal of the offense, which is not possible. And so there's mm-hmm. a lot of healing and a lot of work that has to be done. And I think it just allows pride to creep in there as well. It's just not possible.
You are taking, I feel like when people think about forgetting, they're taking, first of all, I think if they're a Christian, they have a wrong view of how God forgives. And second of all, they're trying to attempt something that not even like God does,
yeah.
Because God doesn't forget our sin. God looks past it. He looks over it. He's not only looks past it. He's covered it with something, which is what we're going to be talking about in just a second. But no, forgiveness is not forgetting. And I think the big point that people miss with forgiveness is that we have to forgive because of offenses, and offenses are, they carry baggage with them, like you're saying, right? Emotional, spiritual, psychological, mental, relational, all that you could throw into that. It has those lasting effects. I mean, I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of that in some of those, in the casework you do, right?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of it is because, I'm sure we'll discuss as well, is that, forgiveness allows you to free yourself from that baggage you talk about, that harm that's been done. And so when you don't forgive, you allow a lot of these destructive emotions to creep in, right? You allow bitterness to be able to be created. You allow grudges and anger and all these things that kind of, you know, impede you to have growth in your Christian walk.
Mm-hmm. Final thing for me, and then if you want to add something else before we move on, you can as well. When I think about people who try to approach forgiveness as forgetting, there's just too many things that you cannot unsee. You know, teenagers, there's youth that I've worked with who have, who can't unsee, you know, a parent that was verbally, even physically mm-hmm. abusive. You can't unsee and you can't forget that. There's lots of people who say that they've forgiven, and when they say they forget, oh, I forgot about it, it's over. But you know what's funny about those people, Joseph? They're always like talking about it afterwards. Like, oh yeah, you know, I forgot my father, but I forgot about it. Like, no, you haven't. You obviously haven't forgotten about it. So maybe your definition of forgiveness is kind of whack. I don't know.
No, yeah. Absolutely right. There's things that happen in life that could be very severe, right? Mm-hmm. Any form of abuse is something that is not easily forgotten. I think when we talk about forgiveness, there has to be reconciliation formed. And so you have to offer forgiveness, but you also have to see the apology, right? So we teach a lot of kids sometimes when they apologize to say, I'm sorry, and the person says, okay. Well, no. What you really should teach a child is say, I'm sorry, and after the apology, say, I'm sorry, do you forgive me? Because the person that was offended, who was the victim, has to offer that forgiveness as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, that stuff is felt here, and you need to have reconciliation. So it's not just offering an apology, but the victim and the offended also has to offer that, yes, I do forgive you, right? Yeah. And so apology and forgiveness both have to be offered to have a complete reconciliation.
Wow, that's actually really powerful. Because I'm just thinking of times where I've like had little kids that are interacting with each other. You know, like you're saying, and one kid has wronged the other, and even just something as simple as like the interactions between children. The other kid might truly be sorry. Like, man, you know, you tell them, hey, you guess what you did. Oh, it's so funny. You watch their expression go from upset to like, oh man, I messed up so bad. the world is crashing all around me. You say, hey. You realize that what you did makes him not want to be your friend, him or her not want to be your friend anymore, right? Like, yeah. And the person who did the wrong is broken. But then when they go back, so you say sorry. So when the kid finally has humility to go back and say, I'm sorry, and say, will you forgive me? It's funny. You think, if you've ever worked with children, you know it's like, hey, the one who's saying sorry, the other person sometimes struggles with it. Like, I forgive you, or it becomes like, you know, hey, well, why don't you guys go shake hands or give each other a hug or something, you know? But you're right. There is a tension on the side of the person who's being wrong with struggling with forgiveness. So
if you offend me and you say, I'm sorry, I would want you to say, do you forgive me? Because it allows me to say, yes, yeah. I forgive you. It frees me, right? And so even growing up, it's like, I'm sorry. Okay, it's not okay. The message should never be relayed that it's okay to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. But the person who's been offended has to have an opportunity to say, yes, I forgive you. I need to free myself from this offense, this hurt. That's how trauma is created, when mm-hmm. you're not allowed to tell your story. And so when you don't offer your forgiveness, you stop someone from telling their story. All right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to hear the apology, but I also want to let you know that I do forgive you.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like would you say those would pretty much wrap up any like most of the wrong views with forgiveness, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So let's talk about the thing that we wanted to really get into, and that is how do we properly define forgiveness? So forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not saying that everything's going to be okay afterwards. Then what is it? Honestly, if you look at philosophy, I feel like philosophy would make it like everything big and complicated and confusing. So for me personally, I like to look at the example of Jesus, because it's not just God, it's also God in the flesh. So he provided an example for us. So I looked at Jesus. What did he do that to show forgiveness, and obviously look no further than the cross, the beginning of the gospel story, right?
Amen.
What did he do? You can look, I didn't write that the reference here, but in Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself, he became obedient, he sacrificed, why? Out of love. And so I look at the forgiveness of God as this, I've written down here 9 and 11. Okay, so here's a setup for, here's how God approaches forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians, so the book of Corinthians, obviously Jesus, God's talking to, Paul's addressing like this church that's like super reprobate. Okay, they're more than just wilding out. Like they're wilding out and then some. Like it's really bad. I feel like progressive churches, someone that we might label as ultra progressive today would be like angels compared to them. Okay, so in chapter 9 he says, hey, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, verse 10, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, that's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming he's saying that because there's people in the church who either are like that or have that in their background. In verse 11, here's what God says, through writing of the Apostle Paul. Verse 11, we read, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Okay, so when I look at forgiveness, I see it as God, Jesus, offering a sacrifice. He covered over in love. He covered over our sins with his blood. And so when God sees us, it doesn't erase our sinful past, because obviously that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. But instead, God looks at all these people, you know, the fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, abusers of themselves and mankind. These are pretty, like, pretty bad accusations. But he looks at them and says, you're covered with my blood, and you're bought, and I love you. I mean, so maybe you could put it in a more succinct way than me. I'm not super good at making things concise, but I would say forgiveness, according to that, is covering over an offense with something. In this case, for the Christian, true forgiveness has to happen. It's covered by love, the love of God. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. I think you made a clear distinction of what philosophy says and what we should see as believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, philosophy says other things, right? And what forgiveness could look like, right? Profound plan and strategy and understanding all these other things. But at the end of the day, it's just Christ's love. And I think understanding that the forgiveness we get is just not being held accountable for our constant mistakes, right?
Right.
And we're not held accountable based on his blood, his love. And so it's very simplistic when it comes to that, in sense of, now it doesn't make it easy,
right?
It's simplistic in the sense to understand that the reason why we're forgiven, it just love that God has based on the covering of his blood. So, yeah, I do. Mm. It's spot on, right? It's I'm free, right? And I'm not being held by my wrongdoing because some things allow me to be free.
Right. And obviously, like you said, we as Christians, we acknowledge that with the need to forgive, right? It happens because of offenses, and we acknowledge the process is not easy.
Yes.
But what we are saying is that while it's not easy, here's your foundation for beginning that process. Do you think, I maybe should ask you this because, you know, you have a degree in this area, but why does forgiveness become so complicated when you're looking at like humanistic solutions with psychology? Why do you think?
Because you can't understand the unique hurt that people feel. People mm-hmm. feel pain and shame completely different. And there's not one situation alike. And so you could have five spouses cheating, right, or infidelity. It doesn't mean that the level of shame, embarrassment, hurt is exactly shared with each couple. And right, mm-hmm. so you have to understand. And so every time you try to figure something out based on just a general idea of what the flesh thinks, it's complicated. It's really hard. And then so you hurt me. And so there's shame and there's no talking about it. There's no understanding. So there's no clear direction. And so you have this and you realize, like you said, the foundation of it is Christ and his love. But that doesn't eliminate the process of it, right? There's a lot of healing that needs to happen. There's a lot of conversation that needs to happen. But we're allowed to have that conversation, that clarity and understanding and the love that's needed to get that done because we have direction. Philosophy is just theories. And so I think that this is what you need to do to have forgiveness. I think you need to do this to have forgiveness. And reality is just a guessing game. We have concrete information on how actually we should ought to offer forgiveness and where does forgiveness come from, because it's a spiritual thing, right? It's a spiritual freedom that we have. When you're trying to forgive someone based on the flesh, you're using pride and flesh-led emotions to find peace and harmony that does not exist. It contradicts each other, right? Wow. You can't have peace and harmony and leadership when you're relying on this. It's impossible. So you might have a couple of steps forward when you think it is, and you realize a memory kicks in and you're lost. Trauma trigger kicks in, you're lost. Or you move on and you hide and you do what you have to do, but it's never there. And you brought that fact earlier where I think I forgive, yet it's still here. It's still taking control of my life, because what you do is you enclose yourself. It's like enclosing yourself in a prison and you lock the cell door. And it's just you and the offense, right? And it's almost impossible to look around and not see that, right?
Do you think that's why, like, I'm listening to you explain this, and I'm seeing, as someone with a wrong, in the wrong, who has a wrong view of forgiveness, could find themselves in a state of depression, even as they think they are overcoming their offense that they're trying to, like, forget, and they call it forgiveness, which, is that pretty true to actual real life?
Think about a spouse. Think about a, and I'm going to use husband as the one who did the wrong. Think about a wife who thinks the world of her husband. They've been together for 20 years. Think about they have children and they think they have the ideal marriage. And they find out later that the husband cheated, was unfaithful. That individual has now lost the perception of what they thought they had. They lost the image of that person. They're grieving. They lost their husband because in their eyes, the person that did this offense never existed. And so if you try to come back that pain, that deep level of pain with your own strength, it's not going to work.
Right.
And that's why you have people in therapy trying to figure out, why am I not allowed to forgive? Because you're relying on your own will, your own strength. You're relying on your own mood. And so you cannot do it. And so you can act and create a facade that, yes. And I think sometimes we view forgiveness by moving on, right? And so I forgive you. I've proven I forgive you because, you know, I moved on. Or I forgive you because I got to have a conversation with you. That's not true. I could obviously, someone offends me, and I could still have a conversation. I can still be along someone without forgiving them. There's plenty of married couples where they're still married, yet forgiveness has not yet been instilled.
I think maybe, because I think tonight we're still going to address kind of the big idea of forgiveness. Maybe next week we can deal like with specifically like how you can tell maybe some of the solutions to forgiveness, and also maybe how you can tell if you have or have not forgiven somebody.
Yes.
But that's really good. Christians out there, we need to understand that relationally, God does not see us as, you know, God doesn't see believers as sinners, but he sees us as sons and daughters, which means that needs to translate over into our methods of the way that we forgive. So, you know, we heard us say, oh, forgive as you've been forgiven, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But you also have to look at it from that relational standpoint that, hey, look, I am a wretched sinner who is called a son, daughter of God. And because I'm a wretch, it's like the dirt, one piece of dirt saying to the other, I'm better than you. We're all undeserving. And I know that, again, the things that people have to forgive, you know, some of them are so traumatic and incredibly, you know, scarring. But at the same time, if you don't have the right foundation for forgiveness, I thought that was really powerful that you said that, you know, like you don't have any direction to forgive in. What way do we forgive? I wrote down here, again, kind of developing more of the idea of how forgiveness is the idea of covering over something. As a Christian, you were covering over with the love of God. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is kind of like a pay it forward lifestyle. That's right. I wrote it down. So I've been offered love, so I give love. I've been offered forgiveness, so I give it. We've been offered mercy and grace, so we give that. And that kind of needs to be our approach. It's a very humbling approach, yes. Would you say? I can't think of the amount of times that I've had to experience. I've been on the end where someone had to forgive me. I don't know.
No, I think it's not. Again, it's not an easy thing, but it does require love. And you know, the word calls us to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy thing to do. I think you need a lot of prayer, and you need a lot of time. And so forgiveness mm-hmm. is also not rushed. And I think and that's another thing too. Is sometimes you can have a superficial forgiveness, right? We do that with children sometimes.
Yeah.
Say, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Move on. A lot, if you really look at it, the words were said, but it wasn't, right, heartfelt.
An hour later, Johnny's still mad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can't rush forgiveness. But at the end of the day, you can't take away from our commandments and our direction of, like, we just have to love. Forgiveness is love. And so to love or offer that love and have that love where we can't keep records of wrong, it completely goes against our human nature. It is absolutely a challenging thing to do.
That was actually, you said, was really powerful, because I remember, I am a very, honestly, I am the most prideful person I know. And I struggle huge with forgiveness. Before, I used to say, like, part of it was like my culture, like kind of my family background. But in the day, you know, I make my own choices, right? And that's one of the things that, you know, that someone had to call me out, like, early on in my marriage, was that I was keeping score.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It sounds like I'm looking at it back and I'm like, man, I'm so petty. I can't believe that defined me. But, you know, I clearly did not understand forgiveness, because I was literally, I told my, you know, my wife, honestly, I'm the one wronging my wife more than she wrongs me. But when she was wronging me, and it could be something as simple as we were going to go out one night and say, oh, she's tired. And so we didn't. And then, you know, I get mad and I say, you know, I forgive you. And I didn't. I keep scoring. Hey, you know, later, you know, back then, God doesn't keep score.
Yeah.
And here I was in my marriage getting upset about things and keeping track and keeping tallies, watching history. And replaying it in my mind over and over again. It's very, if you're not forgiving, if you don't know how to forgive, keeping score is, definitely a sign of that, right?
Yeah. It's, it's not equality, and forgiveness is not predicated on your track history. If a person refuses to accept your apology or forgive you, 10 times, and it's your turn, it doesn't mean just because they haven't forgiven you 10 times that you can offer that right back. Mm-hmm. You're still called to offer that love, that humility, and strike down that pride, because exactly it is. How dare you hurt me? How dare you shame me? How dare you not accept my forgiveness when you haven't forgiven me for the other 10 things, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you don't accept my forgiveness. You know, there's infidelity, and someone is unfaithful 10 times, someone's faithful on one time. You know what? If you're keeping record, if you're keeping track, if it's a ledger, right? That's not forgiveness. That's pride. Right. Pride keeps the score.
Yeah. I have something written down here. I totally forgot to talk about this when we were talking about what forgiveness is not. But obviously forgiveness is not forgetting. As Christians, we don't, I think it's number 5 there, we don't hide from history. We embrace our past, because it's where we were led to become today. You know, that just goes along with a lot. You know, for example, so it keeps us humble as Christians. We remember, okay, here's where I was before, and that's what God brought me out of, and I'm thankful for that. But then also, you know, we talk about the hurts that others have caused to us. A lot of that, you know, if we run from it, we're running from the lessons and the growth that trials and pain offers. You know, when we learn to embrace our history, the trauma of our past, the trials, the scars of sin, it's like you know, putting a healing ointment on a wound. Mm-hmm. It hurts, but there's healing there that happens when we embrace it. Whereas forgetting, it's like treating a knife wound like a paper cut. You just put a Band-Aid over it. Will the surface like scar up? We're gonna see scar tissue. Yeah, but beneath the surface, is there going to be the healing process takes a lot longer. And, you know, in some cases with victims of, you know, of stab wounds, like there can be like internal damage as a result of you like treating it like, oh, I covered it with something, or, you know, deep wound. Well, I'm covering the surface. Oh, look, the surface gabbed up. I'm good. But you didn't seek to like put that ointment inside the wound. So as a result, you know, no antibiotics and nothing of that. As a result, you know, it developed into something far worse. Have you been unfortunate to see some of the cases in some of your casework of people who did not forgive, and that goes far down the road? Like, what did that turn into?
Absolutely. I think you made a brilliant analogy in comparing it to an infection. And what happens with an infection, a lot of times it can spread, right?
Mm-hmm.
So other parts of your body could be affected. And I had a conversation with someone earlier today about, he was telling me about his past history with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, how the traumas of his past are now present with this current relationship.
So
that's what happens. When forgiveness is not addressed the right way and you put a Band-Aid on it with the proper ointment, the proper healing, when there's no healing, you carry that with you everywhere you go. And so kind of like the infection where it spreads to other parts of your body,
mm-hmm.
that's going to spread throughout your life. And yeah. So when you have an absence of forgiveness in your life, that's seen everywhere, not just relationships. It affects how you think, your mood, it affects your relationship with Christ. And so one of the things I always think about is like, if God forgives me the way I want to forgive this person right now, then that would scare me. And so, and that would scare me because it automatically brings it to myself. And I say,
uh-huh.
Hold on, I'm going to forgive this person the way if God's able to forgive my sins or my wrongdoings, the way I want to forgive this person, like, wow, I'll be in trouble. And so it automatically humbles you to a point where, you know what, I got to process this more. I got to find some calmness and some spiritual maturity and some humility
mm-hmm.
to at least offer a better version of the apology or the forgiveness that I want to offer that person.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really good – I mean, obviously, we haven't really jumped into, like, what are some steps you can take in forgiving, better steps to forgiveness. But would I like God to treat me with the same kind of forgiveness?
Mm.
Ouch. That's very convicting. That's challenging. I would say this too, you know, along with that, the idea behind the statement, you know, forgiveness is not forgetting or saying everything's going to be okay, but rather it's practicing what God did, and that's covering over our offenses with His love. Obviously, we have to accept that gift that God offers us through His Son Jesus Christ. But you know, the process hurts and stings, and so I think that's important. I think that's really important for us to talk about it next Sunday night. But
mm-hmm.
It's important for us to acknowledge that. If we're ready to accept the idea, okay, if forgiveness is not forgetting and it's not saying everything's just, oh, it's going to be okay, but now I have to actually deal with this, you know, it will hurt and sting, right? Because, I mean, maybe nothing's coming to mind right now specifically. I know there are examples out there, but, you know, the process of forgiveness does hurt and sting. But eventually what forgiveness will do, true Christ-like godly forgiveness, it seals up and binds those wounds. So I don't know if you can think of any examples.
Forgiveness isn't the process. Forgiveness is the first step that you have to do for order the process to take place.
Yes.
All right. And so I think it's another point is like, you're right. And you're spot on. I don't want to add anything onto it. I think that's perfect. Is like, yeah, we understand what we have to do, but forgiveness is not by offering forgiveness even early on, mm-hmm. it does not automatically mean there's going to be an immediate result of healing. Mm-hmm. And so that's not the process. Right. Forgiveness is what we're called to do, which is covering that offense with love.
So you're saying that you have to just continue to forgive until it's truly buried?
Well, offering forgiveness is a vulnerable thing. Offering forgiveness saying is I'm making a commitment to not hold you to that depth of offense, right? Mm-hmm. Now, by doing that, it does not mean that there's an immediate reconciliation of feeling hurt, mm-hmm. right? But what I'm saying is I am going to free myself, right? And I'm not going to have that be the reason how I move forward. I'm going to put that to the side. But there's other things here that we need to address. Mm-hmm. But forgiveness is that. It's just love. Yeah. And so, you know, it's going to take a while. And we'll, like you said, we'll talk about that next week a little bit.
That reminds me of another definition of hurt for forgiveness too. It's also a good one. And it's releasing someone else from the debt that us and our pride we think someone else owes us.
Amen.
So that's very convicting, man. I'm getting like smitten by the Spirit tonight. So obviously we've talked about what forgiveness is not tonight. We've talked about, you know, the general idea of, okay, here's what forgiveness is. Next Sunday, we're definitely going to talk a little bit more about, as long as you're cool with it, I think we should be talking about, you know, here's some steps you can, from some actionable steps you can take in having better forgiveness. And then also, here are the signs of someone who may still be struggling with this idea, with this practice. As a Christian, like you said, we are called to forgive, and you know, it is discipline. Would you not agree with that? I mean, forgiveness is discipline that we have to, you know, if we have to cover, if it's something that God does in his divinity, then in our humanity, it's something that we've really got to create habits it's not like a one-time thing like we're talking about tonight. It's got to be a continual. It's the first step, and it's the process.
That's right. Yeah. Our simple nature. It's our simple nature never wants to forgive.
Yeah.
It goes against it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight for our men's group, Forge Men's Group. This is the first of, I think it's only going to be 2 weeks, discussion on forgiveness. And then Pastor Russ will pick things up after that, after next week on Sunday night. But thank you for joining us tonight. I hope and pray that if you're struggling with forgiveness, or maybe someone that you know is struggling with forgiveness, then tonight's discussion and next week's discussion may be a help to them. Feel free to share some of the things that you learned, maybe share the video with them. But forgiveness is a requirement for the Christian, for the believer. If you have experienced the grace of God, then truly experienced it, then you're obligated to give that and offer that to other people. And so hope that's something you're able to take away from tonight's discussion. Looking forward to seeing you next week with Forge Men's Group.